Did you call Leander?
No, he's getting Leander's getting restless.
he's on time this week.
He's spot on time. He's been waiting for 10 minutes.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on?
Did I miss it or something?
It's over.
Oh, okay.
This has been the Cultcast. Make sure you follow Leander Caney.
Thank goodness. Yeah, I was dreading it anyway.
Hello! Welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah, and joining me today, Buster the Thruster Hine.
Oh, wow, yeah. What's up?
Also here, Alex, take me to your leader, Heath. Alex.
Mm-hmm. And hello,
hi. And you could probably, on occasion, find him with a Stellar Artois in one hand and brass knuckles in the other. Leander Caney's here. And if you do see him with both of those things, just do yourself a favor and run. Just run for your life. Because he's coming your stones. I say that from experience. Oh, welcome to the Cultcast, everyone. Lots of stuff to talk about this week. Even though it kind of felt like a slow news week, Buster the Thruster. There's actually a lot of stuff to talk about here. We're going to be covering what the Apple Watch can't do. We've talked a little bit about this in previous episodes, but Alex, you wrote a piece that had all sorts of revelations to me on things that it actually is not going to be able to do come launch. So we'll be talking about that stuff. The new cast for the new Steve Jobs movie has been selected, and not everyone is happy about the actors that are going to be playing in this movie. And I captured some of the comments from the Cult of Mac thread. And I got to say, some of the comments were actually a little surprising. So I'll be reading some of those. And we're going to be wrapping up with an all-new Get to Know Your Cultist. This is the segment where we answer your questions. Oftentimes we talk about things that you ask us about ourselves, like what's Leander's favorite food? It's that blue goo that you drink when you're riding your bicycle. He loves that stuff. And we would never have known that without having a great get to know your cultist question. So stick around to the end for that. I want to thank Linda for supporting this episode. Linda.com, LYNDA.com/cultcast. Learn to run your business better. Become a Photoshop expert. Learn how to create music on your iOS devices and so much more. Linda now has over 3,000 courses for you to choose from that you can learn anywhere you are, on your computer, on your Mac, on your iPhone, and they're offering our listeners a 10-day free trial. Head on over to lynda.com, LYNDA.com/cultcast to start your 10-day free trial. Learn all you want for free for 10 days. I want to thank Linda for supporting this episode. And Varidesk, that's VARIdesk.com. Varidesk makes a height-adjustable standing desk that allows users to sit and stand throughout the workday. It adjusts from sitting to standing in just about 3 seconds, and it ships fully assembled right out of the box, and they have models that start at just $275. And let me tell you guys a little bit about standing desks. I moved to a standing desk probably 18 months ago, and I will absolutely never go back to a normal desk ever again in my life. I stand for 3 to 4 hours a day, and as I'm working, I sit, I stand, and helps me kind of just keep my metabolic rate up. And I feel so much better when I stand throughout the day, because, you know, when you sit all day, especially after lunch, you kind of feel sluggish, lethargic. You feel like a giant slob. Am I describing that accurately, Leander?
Ringing a bell? Maybe.
And what a lot of people think is they're going to sit all day and then just go to the gym at the end of the day, and that's going to help them, you know, kind of keep in shape. But that's not the way your body works. If you don't remain active throughout the day, your metabolism slows way down, and you can't actually make up for that deficit by going to the gym. You need to be active throughout the day, and standing is highly, highly beneficial in that regard. But let me talk about what you guys really want to hear me talk about, all you pervs out there. You want to hear me talk about my buns. Let me just tell you, and I'm not exaggerating here. This is the truth. My buns, since I've started standing, have just become rock hard. I could probably take a piece of rebar and put them between my buns. And if I flexed, I'm not going to say I'll bend it into like a C shape, but I'll put a dent in it for sure. And that's because as I'm standing throughout the day, I just flex my buns. Flex them, unflex. Flex them, unflex.
Does Verity right Best now. Know that? Does Verity Best, do they know this is your pitch? This is also the last show that
this Verity might be the last show they sponsor. If you want to get your bun game on point, you need to be standing through that throughout the day. I'm just going to say that. Just remember, when you think Varidesk, think bent rebar, and that could be you. I want to thank Varidesk for supporting this episode. Varidesk.com, the least expensive, highest quality way I know of to get into a standing desk. Thank you, Varidesk, for supporting this episode. Please support us again. I think my buns example is actually pretty good. Buster, yeah, do you flex up and down when you're standing?
Mostly my calves.
Your calves. So you flex your calves. Okay, everyone flexes something. Leander, do you have a standing desk? Do you flex?
Yeah, but no, I don't flex.
You don't flex, bro?
Not really, no. I sag really much. You sag.
Everyone does it differently, you know. Everyone stands in different ways. Okay, I'm going to only mention this briefly because I don't want to put Leander Caney to sleep. But big news this week as far as net neutrality is concerned, the FCC will be proposing that all telecoms and ISPs, so not just ISPs, actual wireless carriers, which I didn't actually expect at all, they're going to propose that they be recategorized as Title II common carriers, which means for us, hopefully in the U.S., no internet slow lanes, no blocking of legal content. And it should keep broadband providers from meddling with our internet in unfair ways so that they can create more profitable opportunities for themselves, which is essentially what we, you know, have been fighting against this entire time. The FCC is set to come out and announce their new rules. Tom Wheeler actually announced that they were going to be seeking Title II classification today on Twitter. And I don't really know a lot more than that, but it's really exciting news. And hopefully it means our internet is safe. But, you know, with these things, you never can tell what's going to happen until it actually happens. Leander, were you going to say something?
No, just surprised, you know, the last round of stories about net neutrality didn't look very encouraging at all, was
not
it?
At
it
all.
Was like they were going to, yeah, so this is like a big about face. Where did that come from?
I don't know. I'm surprised. I think that there was just so much pressure that Tom Wheeler just honestly couldn't ignore it anymore. I mean,
FCC mentioned all the comments that he got.
What's that?
He mentioned like he got over 4 million comments.
Yeah, 4 million comments. President Obama even sounded off about this. How can you ignore all that? I mean, I suppose you could.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that our lawmakers and policymakers have ignored the will of the people in favor of our corporate overlords.
What? Uh-huh. I don't appreciate your insinuation, sir.
Well, you know, it's kind of rare that they, you know, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm too cynical, but
no, I think you're absolutely spot on, especially in this topic. I mean, Comcast has an army of lobbyists. And other, you know, ISPs have an army of lobbyists.
Right, and Verizon and all of them, yeah. I mean, the last thing they want is this, right? Turn them into dumb pipes.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, works in our benefit. And I think the really ironic thing is Verizon is actually kind of being thought of as being responsible for this action because FCC tried to implement some non-binding rules and just some, like, reasonable regulations, and Verizon fought them in court. And won, and that's really when this whole thing started picking up steam as far as public awareness is concerned. And I was reading that AT&T and some of the other like telecoms were worried that Verizon was going to push them too far. And the sweet irony is this actually could have been caused by Verizon. You know,
funny.
In any case, let's move on to some Apple news. Did you guys hear that there was a mystery van driving around San Francisco today that looked like it was driving itself? Leander, did you hear about this?
It looked like it driving itself. I didn't hear that latest one. I saw the mystery van yesterday, the pictures of it, and it looked like a Google van with a bunch of cameras on top.
Yes, exactly.
But I didn't say, but there's actually no one in it?
No, so there is a driver in it.
There is a driver.
But it had all sorts of crazy camera equipment around it. And technology analyst Rob Enderle said...
Enderle,
thank you.
Highly respected...
Is he? I have actually never heard of him. No, okay.
He's a nice guy, but no one, you know, it's like he's considered the most wrong analyst in the history of
great. Okay. Well,
high-tech analysts.
Well, then take that into account as I say this. According to Rob Enderle, he said the number of the cameras on the apparatus, which was on top of the van, leads him to believe that this was a self-driving vehicle and not a Google mapping type car. And also, people did a check on the license plate, and the car is actually leased to Apple. So this started rumors that Apple is actually working on self-driving automobiles. Leander Caney, outlandish, no way, possible? What do you think?
Just really skeptical. I know they talk about this stuff. There was, I know that they talk about getting into all kinds of different things. And there was talk, after in the iPod era about doing cars, cameras. But I don't, it's just so outside of Apple's core business. I know that they've done, they're very interested in getting more data, to improve mapping.
Yeah, it's probably Street View.
Yeah. No. The cameras were, well, I don't obviously know for sure, but the cameras on the car were pointing downwards at the actual corners of the car, not outwards.
Yeah, it could just be some kind of mapping experiment then. I mean, Leander's right. Like there has been talk about it. Obviously, I remember Mickey Drexler, the longtime board member who actually just retired, but he famously said during a conference like a year or two ago that one of the last products Steve Jobs had dreamed up was an iCar, and that's coming from like a veteran Apple board member. So they obviously have like thought about cars, but they're not doing a self-driving car.
I don't
Come
think
on.
They're going to build a self-driving car, but
no,
I think what they
no
could
way.
Be doing is creating the software for it. I mean, they're getting into automobiles and what if they had a partnership with a Ford, with a Chevy, and they used Apple software to navigate themselves? That seems more plausible to me.
Maybe, yeah. It could be some kind of CarPlay stuff, or it's most likely something related to CarPlay or Maps. I wouldn't look too far
Alex,
beyond that.
Alex is set. This is Maps. That's what this is.
It just doesn't. Because like a black minivan is going around with a few cameras down. They're doing a self-driving car. I mean, it's black.
Yeah,
the one I saw was
I thought
black.
It was white.
They have a couple of them throughout. They had some in San Francisco, a couple in Brooklyn that were spotted back in like November, though. So it could be like 3D mapping, like the cities too.
Yeah,
so
or what when if you're doing like the drive. Yeah, what
yeah,
if the
shots
that. I don't think they could do something exactly like Street View. I don't know if Apple has, like, they would just take a lot of resources to catch up.
I bet it's for flyover. I bet what they're doing is they're getting imagery for flyover, and they're going to add, much more street level imagery for that. Because at the moment, you can only go in so far, then it stops. And I love to use Street View, like, especially when you're going somewhere new, you look up an address and you can go check out what it looks like. But it's really kind of primitive, isn't it? I mean, it's a distorted picture. There's always a bus in the way, and you can never really,
always some guy picking his nose.
Right. Or there's some crime that they've actually, some dead bodies.
Some guy getting stabbed.
Right.
Not good at all.
Yeah. So I will bet that it's because Apple just, I can't see them getting into this kind of Google type, blue sky, drones and self-driving cars. The self-driving car, I think, is going to be years away anyway. And it's going to be mainly, it's not just that I don't think they're going anywhere near cracking the technology of it. But let alone that, there's all the legislation.
Yeah.
Like legally, I think it's going to be difficult. But Apple, I don't think Apple's really interested in getting all these different areas. They want to improve, I think, the stuff they're
already working on is what you're saying, right, Leander? Hello.
Oh, he's gone.
Leander, he probably is running some update and it's like restart. He's like, yes. I want to install. Okay, well, we're going to move on without LeCaine because something just happened to him, but I'm sure he'll try to rejoin us when he can. So let's continue and let's talk about this new Steve Jobs movie, Buster.
Oh, snap.
Big news this week. They announced the cast.
Announced the release date.
Oh, they did. When is the release date going to be?
October 9th.
October 9th, 2015. Steve Jobs is back. And this time, it's not Ashton Kutcher. So you might actually want to see it. Leander's back.
They've been shooting all over San Francisco, and then they were just at De Anza College in Cupertino where they had the Apple Watch event shooting for the original Macintosh part of the movie.
So I saw some of those pictures, which I definitely want to get your guys' thoughts on. But let me quickly just run over the cast. So
yeah,
we talked about this before. Michael Fassbender is going to be Steve Jobs officially. Seth Rogen as Waz, Kate Winslet as Joanna Hoffman, someone who I've never heard of until I read this article. She
really?
Was
Mac- no, that's weird.
Who is that, Leander?
Well, she was one of the sort of original members of the Mac team. She was kind of like an office and manager and all-round administrator, and she's one of the few people that really could stand up to Jobs.
Okay.
And was kind of a tough cookie. I think she did a lot of the, you know, she sort of ran the team as his sort of right-hand woman.
Okay, because obviously she must have an important role, at least in the movie, if Kate Winslet...
But she doesn't look anything like Kate Winslet.
Well, geez. We'll move to that. Yeah. We'll move to that in a sec. Hold on. I'm very excited. Jeff Daniels is going to be John Scully. I thought he was perfect for that role.
Yeah, he looks just like him.
And they're going to have three different actresses focused on Lisa Jobs because they're going to be doing flashbacks throughout the movie. So they need different age actresses to play that role. The movie will be set backstage at three iconic product launches ending in 1998 with the unveiling of the iMac. So let me ask you guys
all gibberish. What? 88 with the unveiling of the iMac?
In 1998 with the unveiling of the iMac. Is that not what I said?
No. It's supposed to be iPod.
Yeah. Oh, really?
It's original iPod in 2001 is the last act.
Huh. Oh, interesting. Well, scratch that last thing that I said then. Well, I don't know, but let me read
According to Sorkin, it's iPod. So
Sorkin said it centers around three Apple events, the original Macintosh launch, Next computer, and then the original iPod. Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, I believe Sorkin over whatever it is I just read. Before this gets any more inaccurate, let's talk about the actual actors themselves. Michael Fassbender as Steve Jobs. A lot of people are complaining that he looks nothing like him. He looks nothing like Steve Jobs. How can this be happening? Do you guys care about that?
No, not really.
I think they're going to make him look similar enough. Leander,
I don't think
you
have to look exactly like him.
I don't either. I mean, I was kind of hard on it in the post, like he doesn't look anything like him. But then I did say in the post, like there are plenty of great actors who have played people that they look nothing like, and they still do a great job. But I mean, it's really just going to depend on the performance. Basically, what it tells me that he doesn't look like Jobs, they didn't try to make him look like Jobs, is that they're really banking on it being such an amazing performance that no one's going to care. So. And we learned from the Sony hack that Sorkin is like, he wants this to be like Oscar material. He wants Fassbender to win an Oscar.
Really?
So,
right. Okay.
They're shooting really high for it. So,
well, it's got a pretty all-star cast.
Doesn't get any better than Rogan, man.
Like Rogan. He's going to be smoking weed the whole time. Let me ask you guys about A+K, Ashton Kutcher in the original Jobs. He obviously looked a lot like Steve Jobs. I don't really recall where you guys stood on his performance. Were you guys
hot
on that movie?
It's pretty bad.
No. You know, I feel like you don't have to capture like all the mannerisms of Steve Jobs. I think you just got to capture like the intensity of Steve. And I felt like Kutcher, like he tried to like get Steve's voice and like the way he spoke and all that. I don't think that's necessarily like important. It doesn't have to be like a direct interpretation of him.
He kind of felt to me in that role like the guy who impersonates Michael Jackson on like the Hollywood Strip.
Yeah.
It's like it looks like him, he walks like him, but you can tell that it's not him.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that Fassbender will actually do what you said, Buster, is he will somehow have more of that essence of Steve Jobs, even though he doesn't actually look like him whatsoever. And let's be honest, Michael Fassbender looks nothing like Steve Jobs.
Right.
They could have gotten
neither does Leonardo DiCaprio or Tom Cruise, who they also wanted to play in it. But those guys could also play like super intense guys, which is what Jobs is.
I could see Tom Cruise with some makeup like Steve Jobs for sure. And Christian Bale would have looked dead up like him.
Yeah, he would have looked like him. Let me read you guys some of these comments from your post, Buster, on Cultimac. I thought these were interesting. So Keen says, they are horrible actor difference. Jobs film 2013 is best. Film 2013 is best. Keen,
the internet at its finest, man.
Coming with the realness, Keen.
I could see if they said, like, you know, Pirates of Silicon Valley was going to be better than this, but come on, nobody's going to defend that.
Jobs film is best. Foot Folger says, LOL, he looks just like Michael Fassbender walking around in a suit. You know, it's funny because that's exactly what I thought. I'm like, it just looks like Michael Fassbender in slacks.
Funny.
Dave says, say what you will about Ashton Kutcher, but at least he looked exactly like Jobs. It's funny to me that people get really hung up on that. Yes, he did look exactly like Jobs, but his performance of Jobs, I did not think was very good.
No, no, no. It's like, you know, Jesse, what's his face as Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
And the, you know, that movie.
Oh, which I think and the Social Network.
Movie. Yeah, which is really great. And it's like, it just, you know, he it doesn't really matter that it doesn't look like him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it doesn't, but it's pretty clear from the emails that Sorkin wanted it to be legit. He wanted it to be like Selma in the sense that it's this guy that looks exactly like the character, being exactly like the character. And they couldn't get what they wanted. It was a revolving door of actors, and they had so many internal problems. So it's kind of like they're just going with what they can. I mean, Fassbender was a super last minute grab. The whole cast really was super last minute. It was basically like, y'all just need to get a casting and get this thing shot, or it's not happening. So
is it Fassbender or Fassbender? I don't know.
It's however you feel, man.
Fassbender.
And Danny Boyle's a genius, the director.
Yeah.
He's made some great movies.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a popular one.
Okay, Slumdog Millionaire was one of his popular ones.
Didn't he also do 28 Days Later? Was that him?
Yeah, right.
That was a good movie.
Shallow Grave, that's his first movie. That one's a cracker.
The Beach with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Saw that. Was that any good?
I never
that
saw was, it either.
It wasn't great, but...
Yeah, I'll admit, though, when it came out, I was pretty into that movie. When did that movie come out? Like, 94?
Oh, forever ago.
Yeah, I was pretty into it. And when they found that field of weed, I was like, whoa. Spoiler alert. Sorry.
Don't spoil it.
Sorry, spoiler for The Beach. okay, let's move on and let's talk about Apple Watch. I saw a video this week that actually, for the first time since we've been talking about Apple Watch, which has been, what, 7 years now, actually looked like it's useful. It was Tesla's, an example of Tesla's app where you could do all sorts of cool things on the app itself to interact with the car. Like, you could open the sunroofs, you could roll the windows down, and you could pinpoint the location of your car. And I thought to myself, wow, this is actually something I think I would use. And far and away, the best looking, even though I think it was a prototype.
Well, let's clarify. It's not Tesla's app. It was a studio making an app for Tesla. It's a concept.
Wait.
So Tesla didn't hire this studio to make it?
No relation to Tesla whatsoever.
What? AirPods just...
Get off this show, Alex. Trying to make me look dumb. No, I'm reading it right here. Concept app has nothing to do with...
Do you think that Tesla would allow any copy that's written that poorly to be officially associated with Tesla?
Well,
they barely speak English.
This app looked amazing. And yeah, even though it is a concept, it looks like something that they should try to at least copy. In fact, they should just copy it outright. But in the process of developing this app, the app developers actually used the APIs and said something along the lines of, Apple Watch apps don't actually run on the watch itself. They have to be tethered to the iPhone, and they're actually run via the iPhone. Yeah. Alex, you feel free to correct me if I'm wrong here. Anywhere, you just jump right in. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to say some follow-up about last week, you all talking about the question, is it going to be worth having an Apple Watch without an iPhone? And the answer is no. Like, it's going to be completely useless without an iPhone, like, in every way.
The only thing you'd be able to do is track your health, and that's
it. No, you can't even do that. You can't even set the time without an iPhone.
No, you can't set the time on your Apple Watch.
It was literally, if you buy the Apple Watch without an iPhone, it is literally going to be a blank screen.
So are they going to sell it as this requires iPhone? Do you know that?
I mean, they probably aren't going to say it requires iPhone, but like in the Apple store when you're talking to
them. You're still going to be able to tell time. You're still going to be able to tell your pulse.
Literally.
You're telling me if your iPhone is nowhere around you, it will not tell you what the time is right now.
No, not.
Yes, it will.
It will tell you what time, but it just won't tell you an accurate time.
There will still be features where it does not need your iPhone.
Better get an iPhone.
Time to get an iPhone. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying.
Well, you're saying it's completely worthless. I'm saying it's still going to be something that you can wear around.
No, if you do not own an iPhone, you can't set it up. All of the setup is done on the iPhone. Everything.
Okay, well,
down
yeah, to- that's that. I think that's different than what we're talking about. I think it's obvious to iPhone. Or I think they're saying when you're not carrying your iPhone with you, is it going to be worthless if you don't have?
No,
your
well,
iPhone
they demoed
with
that during
the
keynote. Yeah, but I thought the question made from last week
it's
made it sound like
it's obvious that it's made for iOS integration.
Right, but the question, the way it was described last week, you all made it sound like even if you have like an Android phone, you can still use some of the watch features, like the native apps.
I didn't
apps
think that's what we were saying at all, but I thought okay. I took that that's in the context sounds. Of if your iPhone isn't near you, is your watch going to be worthless? No.
No, not at all, but you will have to have an iPhone to set it up, like to do anything, to set the passcode, to set the time, to
yeah,
from, what, the, from the setup process.
I was surprised that they said... Briefly speaking, Apple Watch is simply an additional monitor for your iPhone. This is the developers that made that fake, totally fake Tesla app. And it, and yep. if it can't do anything by itself, as we can see now, Apple Watch without an iPhone is actually nothing more than a useless toy. Ouch. And if you're only going to be able to run apps via the iPhone in a tethered mode, A, that would probably mean it's going to be somewhat laggy. I mean, it at least unresponsive in some ways, since the you know the information has to go back and forth as you interact with it. But also, as you've been kind of implying, Alex, it kind of sounds like if you want to use an app, at the very least, you have to have an iPhone.
You have otherwise, to be within Bluetooth pairing distance of the iPhone, correct? And it's not going to be that laggy because third-party apps aren't allowed to use graphical animations or videos at all. It's all completely image-based, so mm-hmm. everything's going to be really small bits. And yeah, it's going to be super limited at first, but Apple already said that native apps are coming later in the year, and so probably around the fall, developers are going to be able to start making native apps. So yeah, for a few months, it's going to be super limited, but I mean, it'll catch up.
This is sounding more and more like iPhone... Really?
Yeah, exactly. It's totally what it is. Yeah.
Is it just going to be absolutely locked down?
Yeah, and it's all for battery life. I mean, if you ran the watch's processor at full speed, I mean, that thing would be dead in a couple hours. So they're doing it to conserve battery life and to keep it secure, which is how they've always done new products.
So let's talk about some of the other things that developers aren't going to be able to access on the Apple Watch, at least when it launches. So finger scrolling or digital crown, I'm reading from your piece on Cultimac titled... Everything Apple Watch apps can't do. Open or launch apps, that sucks. Use force touch to control the interface. Use the Taptic Engine for vibration feedback. They can't access the heart rate monitor. This seems like something they're going to have to open up.
They will eventually, but no, none of that. No NFC, microphones just for dictation, no sounds. Like I said, only pictures you can't, or images, no like animations or anything. You can't even do custom watch faces, which is kind of funny. You can't
so, hold on. You can't remotely access the iPhone's camera unless you're using the native camera app on your iPhone. So isn't Instagram making an app for the Apple Watch? What the heck is that app going to do if you can't
it's just
gonna, your iPhone?
It's just going to view like likes and photos and comments and stuff. Yeah, it's just your timeline. It's going to be an extension. Okay, the correct way to think about watch apps is they're extensions in the same way that like an iOS app can have an extension in the photo app. Mm-hmm. So basically think of every third-party iOS app all of a sudden has the watch as an extension. So you have to have the iOS app for it to work, and it's all being powered from the iPhone.
This is kind of deflating my enthusiasm a little bit.
I thought we've already talked about all these, though.
But I guess they weren't set in stone for me. I kind of was thinking you'd be able to do a lot more.
This
article's
like from December, mid-December. Yeah. I mean,
December,
we've known all this forever.
Yeah, but I didn't. I saw Alex in I skipped it.
I do.
Alex,
I do think because of like the conversation last week, it's important to bring it up just because like I was listening to it and it did sound like we were saying that if you like, you could potentially go to the Apple store, buy an Apple Watch, not have an iPhone and use it, like use Apple's native apps and stuff. And that's just not the case. Like you're not gonna be able to do anything without an iPhone.
Yeah. It kind of sounds like if you don't have an iPhone, then really you're...
Which is fine. I mean, it's great for Apple.
I don't know. I mean,
I felt like that was all very like clear advertised, like when they did the keynote, that it's an extension of the iPhone. That
But extension can be interpreted so many different ways. I feel like it's like an extension of the iPhone. Oh, so if I have an iPhone, it's going to extend the experience, and not it is a mandatory extension. Yeah, yeah, if I don't have an iPhone, then this is really not going to do very much. That never really felt clear to me.
I agree with Irfan. It wasn't clear that this Apple Watch is super cool with the iPhone. It enhances it, but without the iPhone, this thing is a dud. So they didn't say it that way, which is kind of important to know if you're thinking about buying one.
I mean, look, I'm still going to buy the edition for $20,000 because it's more important to me to look cool than to have a functional piece of technology. So I'll just put that out there right now. But when I'm showing my friends what it does, if I'm showing them that all I can do is read my text messages and look at my Instagram feed and do things
that
I
can
already
do
on my iPhone...
What do you expect it to do? I mean, it's supposed to just make like using your apps easier and more convenient on your wrist. Like, that's the idea.
That was kind of originally what I was hoping it wouldn't do. like if they release a watch and all it does is the things that your phone already does,
except on a smaller screen. It doesn't do just that. Like, the communication stuff's really cool. The like what Buster was talking about with the where
digital
it can send your heartbeat. Yeah, and like and they've got this weird emoticon language thing that they're doing with these weird faces. I don't know. There's going to be a lot of cool communication ways of, I don't know. It's going to be weird. Teens,
it's going to get better.
It's all for teens.
It's going to get better. I don't want to be Debbie Downer. It's definitely going to get a lot better, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, kind of launching, I'm just feeling a little bit like, this is kind of sounding like the Galaxy Gear for Apple.
No, definitely not.
That's definitely not that. That was a bad comparison. I shouldn't have made that.
Even with the limited functionality, I think it's going to be cool. I mean, you know, like, it's a silly thing, but the Microsoft Band, I love to get the notifications on my wrist and the fitness stuff too. I mean, you know, that's
and to be able to
with functionality.
Right. And to be able with the Apple Watch to get that notification and then respond with Siri, you know, and then have it sent back, you know, that's pretty cool. I mean, you don't have to have your iPhone in your hand the whole time.
Yeah. And there's probably some stuff, as you said, Leander, that I maybe think that I don't want to do on my wrist, but once I try it, I actually might like. So
yeah, you know, I mean, paying Apple, Apple, for a lot of people, I think it's going to be, it's going to be a gateway to Apple Pay, right? And that's going to be, I think people are going to dig that, especially
gateway drug.
Right.
That's what Tim Cook's billing it as. Okay, let's move on. But before we do that, I want to say thank you to lynda.com for supporting this episode. That's lynda.com/cultcast. I love lynda.com. That's because I love to learn. I feel like everyone needs to be feeding their brains every day. You need to be doing something to improve yourself every single day so that your brain gets more wrinkles, so that you feel good about yourself, so that your skills are improving. And if you're a photographer or you're in the technology space or you're trying to be in either of those spaces, or you're in a space where your skill sets really need to be improving because they're fast-paced, lynda.com is the absolute best way that I know of to learn quickly from all these great professionals. In fact, I hopefully you guys listened to my interview with David Hobby, who is an outstanding photographer, and he does a Lynda course on travel photography where you get to learn all his tips and tricks on how to do travel photography. This is the caliber of person that you are going to get to learn from in Lynda's courses. In fact, I've used Lynda courses for years and years and years. I learned how to edit in Logic Pro 10 from Lynda's Logic Pro Essentials course taught by Scott Hirsch, who is a college professor. He's also a musician. He teaches classes on all these different audio programs and interfaces and tells people how to use them better. And he learns them inside and out. I mean, this guy knows everything about these applications, and he teaches them in a really straightforward way. And plus, because they're video, when you're going through, there's a visual element to it, so it helps you remember how to do certain things. And if you ever need to go back and learn something again, lynda.com will, A, make it really easy to search for different videos. So if you remember hearing something in one of the videos, you can actually search for that text and go back and watch that video portion again. But they make the videos really accessible. They're in bite-sized chunks. They're very short, usually, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes. And you can watch them on your Mac. You can watch them on your iPhone. You can watch them on your iPad. Literally anywhere you are, you can be watching lynda.com courses and improving your skill sets. Couldn't recommend it any more highly. Give it a shot. Go to lynda.com/cultcast. That's lynda.com/cultcast. Linda is giving our listeners a 10-day free trial. So when you sign up, you'll have 10 days, unlimited access to learn all you want for free. You can go through probably several courses in that time period if you're so motivated. And you'll have all that time to kind of evaluate the service. And then if you decide you want to stay on, it's $25 a month, which I really do believe is a steal. $25 a month for access to over 3,000 different courses taught by some of the best people in their fields. You will learn a ton and you'll feel better about yourself. Your skill sets will improve. Maybe you'll even be able to get yourself a raise. Go to your boss and tell him that you're a lot smarter than you were when you first got hired. You are improving your skill sets. That's the way you make the big bucks, folks. I want to thank Linda for supporting this episode. That's lynda.com/cultcast. Okay, guys, let's go ahead and move on. Let's talk about, really quickly, Apple's Arizona Sapphire plant. Buster, are you excited that Tim Cook is going to be in his data command center overlooking all of Arizona?
Yeah, not really. I mean, it felt like kind of like a kind of like a pity, like, you know, prize for Arizona after the Sapphire thing failed.
So, you know, you're not excited about this. So,
I mean, you know, it's like a $2 billion project and it's like going to have 150 Apple jobs for like the next 30 years. But and it has Apple attached to it. So it's like a big get for the Valley. But I don't think it's like going to be a huge thing for like the Phoenix area.
So as many of you probably know, GTA Advanced Technologies filed for bankruptcy last October. They were the people that were supposed to be creating all the Sapphire Crystal displays for our iPhones that never materialized. And they had this big, essentially ginormous workplace there, Buster, that was going to go unused, right? That Apple was trying to figure out what to do with.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a huge facility. I've walked around it before. I mean, it's just a couple football fields big.
Wow.
And, you know, it was going to go dormant, you know, if Apple didn't do anything with it. Yeah. So I guess they're going to convert it into a data command center, which I don't really understand what that means either.
I love that.
They said I want to work there, though.
Yeah, you should, man. Be insider. Yeah, it says it's going to power all their global networks, so I'm guessing iCloud stuff.
I mean, that sounds pretty incredible. I do hear your point that before they're going to be employing probably, what, thousands of people?
Yeah. 2,000.
Yeah. 2,000 people. And now it's only 150 people, but it's going to be 150 very well-paid people.
Yeah. I mean, it's also cool because they're doing it 100% solar-powered, which right. You would think in Arizona, the desert, yeah, would be like a big thing, but it's actually been struggling to take off here. So that could be like a big boost for the area. Oh, Apple's doing this solar-powered. More businesses will start putting up some panels on their roofs too.
Yeah, you would think that solar power would be really huge in Arizona. I mean, yeah, it's sunny there, what, like 390 days a year?
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's always like 120 degrees every time I ask you how hot it is there.
Yep.
Buster sweats like 3 pints of water a day. His skin glows. You see him in person, it's amazing. Okay, well, I think this is cool. I mean, definitely not as profitable for the area as the GTAT center would be, but hey, at least they're doing something there and they're not just abandoning it and leaving a bunch of punks to spray paint the inside.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the last segment of the day. Get to know your cultists. We have some great questions that our listeners have donated to us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecultcast. Good grief. We have a bunch of these on here. Thank you to everyone who gave us these questions. So many great questions here. We're going to try to go through as many of them as we can. Let's start with this one. This comes from John Alanese. I think he's had his question picked several times. Good questions from John. He asks, what's your view on Hackintoshes? Are they of any interest? And are they blasphemous in your opinion? Jeez, strong language from John Alanese. Leander, what do you think?
Well, you know, it's, technically illegal to run OS X on non-Apple hardware.
Illegal as in you could be arrested?
Well, you know, I don't know. Yeah, possibly. I'm not really sure. It's forbidden in the you know, the end user license agreement. And of course, Apple is. There's been a couple of companies. In fact, a few years ago, there was two or three companies that sprung up and to sell Hackintosh hardware. Mm-hmm. And they said, you can supply your own. You supply your own operating system, hoping they could skirt around the law by doing that. Actually, some were selling it with the hardware pre-installed. I mean, as a hobbyist thing, it's kind of cool, and I think it's an interesting project, and it's definitely great for someone who wants to, but you know, like I think for kids and for teenagers, you know, who want to build their own, you know, learn how the computers work and want to put together their own machine. You know, I mean, Woz would love it, right? Woz is totally for all this kind of stuff. Jobs would hate it, but Woz would love it.
My first computer.
So, I mean, we've had some here. We had a couple in the office that some, you know, people built and came over to show us, and they're screaming fast, but it's always kind of a headache every time Apple updates its operating system. Although I think actually maybe some of the latest installers make that a little bit easier, and they actually handle updates.
Yeah. Hello.
He's gone again.
We lost Leander right as he was about to make a very eloquent point, I'm sure.
Well, can I just say my first computer was a Hackintosh, so
that you built yourself?
Yeah. Well, no, my first computer, period. I mean, I was like probably 14, and I wanted a Mac so bad, and my parents were like, we're not going to buy you a Mac. So they gave me this really, my dad's like old crappy Dell Inspiron laptop. And I was like, I just loved the Mac software so much. I tried to find a way to put it on there. So I made a Hackintosh. It's my first computer.
I would totally build a Hackintosh, to Leander's point. The thing I don't like about them is every time Apple updates their software, you're left behind. It's like Joe breaking your phone. It kind of makes it so that you can't update your software.
I mean, I had mine for probably close to 3 years, and I never had much trouble with it. I mean,
but
it's
you
kinda
also couldn't update the software, right? You just
No, because every time it's like a jailbreak. Every time new software would come out, somebody would find a way to Hackintosh it. And I think now it's gotten super easy to do. Back in the day, you had to find all the right drivers for everything from the USB ports to the display and everything, and that was a pain. And now I think it's all pretty much automated, so it's actually a lot easier to do it.
Huh. I guess maybe I've just gotten lazy. I'm like, I just want to hit update and not have to worry about it, which is why I never really wanted to mess with Hackintoshes, even though if you can't afford a Mac, it's actually a really good way to get the experience, right?
That's what I did, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's too bad that Leander is not here for this part. Oh, there he is. Perfect timing. This question comes from Joel Jupp. He wants to know, if Leander was a vegetable, which one would he be, and would you eat him?
He'd be Brussels sprouts, and I would not eat him.
Brussels sprouts. Yeah. Well, I don't like Brussels sprouts either.
I'd be boiled cabbage, right?
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah. Boiled cabbage.
I'd eat that.
That thing that no one really wants to eat, but they have to because their parents make them.
Right. Yeah. You know, can be delicious, especially if you've had a few pints of ale.
Oh, yeah, there you go, Governor.
And it's with a steak and kidney pie.
Comes with a nice Stella Artois. Okay, Tom Clark wants to know.
That's kind of weird.
What's that?
Whose question was that?
That was Joel Jupp. And if you think that's weird, I don't think any of these get any better. But that's what I like about our listeners. They're delivering here. Tom Clark wants to know, what Apple chief would you, or which Apple chief would you most like to look like and why? Easy. Johnny Ive.
No, dude.
He's slick.
Air Force One, man.
Air Force One all the way.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think about that.
Craig Federighi, man.
Yeah. Does anyone want to go be bold and say Bob Mansfield?
No. Sexiest staff VP.
I don't know. Luca, the new CFO with that amazing accent. That's pretty great.
Ladies do like an accent. What about Eddie Q? Leander, I feel like you would go Eddie Q.
Oh, dude.
Thanks.
Just because you're so inclusive, you don't want to leave him out. That's what I mean.
Yeah, I feel sorry for poor. I wouldn't mind hanging out with Eddie. He looks kind of fun.
I bet he parties.
Coachella or something. Yeah, right.
Yeah. You could tell he has a reserve side, but when he lets loose, he really lets loose. He's always wearing like those really kind of like buttoned up dress shirts when they do their events. But then when he folds up his sleeves, they have like really crazy designs on the inside.
Yeah. Or dude, so he's super V-neck sometimes. He's been every single event, I think he's let another... He's been letting another button go down each event.
I think I saw his belly button the last one. I was like, party time. Okay, Chris Rowe wants to know, you've been invited to an 80s fancy dress party. Who do you go as?
Teen Wolf.
Look, man, we got some fine new wheels, we got some good tunes, and a total disregard for public safety.
Oh, you wouldn't even need a costume. You just got to put on sunglasses. Put on sunglasses at a Letterman and you're set. I'm ready to go, yeah. Now, Alex, what do you got? I'm thinking.
No, you go. I'm thinking.
Leander.
Oh, Mr. T. Never mind. Mr. T.
Oh, I was actually going to pick Mr. T, you son of a gun. Well, then I'm going as Rick Astley. Never gonna make you cry. Never gonna save you.
You're inserting never going to give you up under us right now.
Oh, yeah. It's there. I'm going to go with a denim jumper and sunglasses. Leander, what's your pick?
One of the New Romantics. Probably one of the members of Spandau Ballet. What? With a big frilly shirt. Remember those? World?
Leander Kane, ladies and gentlemen. What? What? Who?
Oh, everyone in Britain is going to be nodding their heads and going, yeah, they know exactly what I'm talking about. You've never heard of Spandau Ballet? They just played here in the city.
No.
They were the quintessential New Romantic band.
Spandau Ballet. No, I've never heard of them.
You remember the whole New Romantic trend with the big frilly shirts and the slick hair and big parachute pants?
That's called the New Romantic trend?
But that was, they were called New Romantics.
I didn't know that. I guess I knew the style, but I didn't know it had a name to it.
Okay, yeah, we'll look it up. You'll see.
New Romantics. Okay. Let's see here. We got, Brian Young wants to know, professional wrestler you most identify with. I think I'm gonna have to go.
Absolutely nothing about wrestling. So,
well, let's be honest, Alex. You'd be that girl that walks around the ring holding the sign in the bikini.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be your role. I would have to be Randy Macho Man Savage, brother. Oh yeah.
The tower of power, too sweet to be sour. I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Hello.
Because I like salted meats and I like hitting people with chairs and I like brightly colored clothes.
Salted meats. I don't remember.
Salted
did he advertise
Slim Jims.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, he snapped that Slim Jim too. I mean, he eat that whole thing in like half a bite.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, because that's the only wrestler I remember.
Does anyone want to be Andre the Giant?
No.
Andre the Giant was a classic. Okay, great question from Brian Young. Let me see here. What else do we have that we could cover?
That's it.
What's that?
It's over.
No. Leander's texting me OMG. That means I need to vamp. Let's cut it short. What? Leander, the more you distract me, the longer it takes me to find another question that I like.
My hair's not that long.
Your hair's not that long? What?
Cut it short?
Actually, you know what? With that joke, I think we probably should just go ahead and wrap it up. I'm not going to be able to top that, Alex.
It's untoppable.
That was classic dad joke. Good job on that one. All right, guys. Well, thank you, everyone, for your Get to Know Your Cultist questions. We will definitely do this again. I love hearing from our listeners. They always have the most insightful questions to entertain all of you as we answer them. If you want to contribute your own, make sure you are on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast. With that said, that's all the CultCast we have for you guys this week. But if you want to come say hi to us on Twitter, we would so love that. Alex is Alex, Alex E. Heath, Buster's BST3R. Leander is L. Caney. I'm at Arifon. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys.
Ooh, yeah, next time. Ooh, yeah.
Back to the 80s.
Where's my folding chair?
No, we just started. Lucky you.
Cool.
Yeah. And we'll be going for at least 2 hours today.
Okay.
Well, you know, there's net neutrality news, Leander. So we'll dedicate an hour and 40 minutes to that.
Okay. And then, 20 minutes to, get to know your cultists.
Get to know your culties.
Culties, right.
Hey, well, we have some breaking news we can talk about.
What's that, Alex?
Recode report about Apple TV.
What about it? Don't leave me hanging.
they're doing like a Sling TV style.
Are they? Are you literally writing about this as we speak?
I just published it. I'm cleaning it up.
Yeah, clean it up. I was gonna mention that too. Dirty.
Clean that shit up. Yeah. Jesus. And have you been smoking weed, Alex?
No. Maybe you should take a couple puffs.
I have not. Why?
You sound really stoned. Yeah. Talking real slow.
Stoned out of my mind.